All right, well, let's just stand one more time, if you don't mind, and let's turn to Leviticus chapter 23. Leviticus chapter 23. If you have a Bible, if you don't have a Bible, just listen. If you need a good old fashioned King James Bible, then ask the pastor before you leave, and he'll get you one. But if you have a Bible, just maybe don't have it with you, just listen now. And I draw our attention there to Leviticus chapter 23 and verse 22. And this is what the Bible tells us. "And when ye reap the harvest of your land, thou shalt not make clean riddance of the corners of thy field when thou reapest, neither shalt thou gather any gleaning of thy harvest. Thou shalt leave them unto the poor and to the stranger. I am the Lord your God. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, In the seventh month, in the first day of the month, shall ye have a Sabbath, a memorial of blowing of trumpets and holy convocation. Ye shall do no servile work therein, but ye shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord." All right, Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for the precious word of God that's quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. We know it has the power to be the discerner of the thoughts and intents of our very hearts. We know that the entrance to thy words giveth light. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way by taking heed thereto according to thy word. Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. And the path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more into that wonderful day. And I pray now that you'll bless us tonight in a great and wonderful way. Unite our hearts together, not only in the love of Christ, but in the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. And Father, strengthen us for the work. Much work is yet to be done. And prepare us for that great event. And that great event for us is the judgment seat of Christ. And we know that it's going to take the catching up of the saints to get there. And we praise you now for allowing us to consider these feasts, these prophetic feast days, and these mysteries being unlocked before our very eyes. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen. All right, please be seated. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we have already covered the Feast of Passover. That was Calvary. Then we considered the Feast of Unleavened Bread. That is the saints of God being separate from this world, and many more things. Of course, you'd have to go over that yourself. The first fruits is the resurrection of Christ, Pentecost. I spend quite a bit of time this morning on the born-again church. If you are saved and born again, ladies and gentlemen, you are a member. You are a member of the born-again church. And water didn't get you in there. And membership dues didn't get you in there. What gets you in there is the blood. And the blood of Jesus Christ got you into that body. And that body we cannot see except by example in a local format, all right? But it's still a spiritual body. And all born-again believers are members of that spiritual body. And one day we're all going to get together. Woo! Now that's what the Feast of Trumpets is all about. Now the Feast of Trumpets begins the seventh month. Now the first feast there, Passover, Unleavened Bread, and First Fruits, are the first month. And then on the third month is Pentecost. And then there is a, well, you might say, a silence of a number of months. Now, if you count from the Feast of First Fruits, essentially that's what made way for Pentecost, because First fruits is what tore down that middle wall of partition. Amen. And so if you begin from there, you count 5 months, essentially, and now you come to the seventh month. Now, I don't think that's by any mistake. I believe it was ordained of God. We call this the age of grace, and we know number five. 5 months represents, number five represents the age of grace. These are the years that are really not in much detail in the Old Testament. It's a mystery of the church. And now we're at the seventh month. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I don't think I need to do a lot of proving to you to demonstrate to you that we are in the seventh month. Amen. All right, I know one thing. We ain't in the sixth month. We're not in the fifth month. We're not in the fourth month. We are definitely in the seventh month, prophetically speaking. Now, in the Feast of Trumpets, there are essentially 10 days. And those 10 days will ultimately lead into the Day of Atonement. And there are essentially three feasts in the seventh month. There is the Feast of Trumpets, there is Yom Kippur, or the Day of Atonement, and then there's the Feast of Tabernacle. And those three things happen in the seventh month. It's amazing, isn't it? And if you're a dispensationalist like I am, you believe there's seven dispensations in the Bible. And so right now, ladies and gentlemen, there is no doubt in my mind we are now embarking upon number seven. We're not there yet, but we're just about ready to get there, all right? And we are just beginning this time. And again, we're not supposed to, we don't know the day, we don't know the hour, don't even know the season. But we know the signs of the times. And we know we're about ready to hear the last trump, as the Bible calls it, the trump of God. And so I'd like you to turn with me now to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. You know, I like to bring out some things, okay? First of all, one of the biggest things that people don't even realize, perhaps they're afraid to ask, is the expression, what we're going to read here, the last trump. This has caused a lot of confusion in people's minds because there are people out there writing books about different things, about when the rapture is going to happen. Is it going to happen before the tribulation? Is it going to happen right after the tribulation? Is it going to happen in the middle of the tribulation? Or is it going to happen right before the end of the seven-year tribulation? Some don't even believe in a rapture. Some believe that when Jesus shows up, that will be the end. But we're premillennial, amen? And we're pre-trib rapture. And the reason we are is because we believe and understand that the Feast of Trumpets, it goes right along with the idea of the Jewish wedding. This whole thing that we've been talking about, even the Passover, has a connection with the Jewish wedding. And the fact of the matter is, in John chapter 14, the Lord said the disciples were distraught. They didn't quite understand how all this is going to play out. He said, in my Father's house are many mansions. Now, remember the word are. That means that there is. If there are, there is. He didn't go up there to build the mansions. No, the mansions are already there. That's in his Father's house. But he did say, I go to prepare a place. And the fact of the matter is, what is the place? Why did he even mention his Father's house? Because his whole thing about giving the cup and making the contract with his bride, which, by the way, if you're saved, we're a member of the bride. Amen? All right, so because we are a member of the bride, well, the wedding hasn't taken place yet. We are betrothed to the Lord. Amen. And if we're betrothed to the Lord, we ought to live some godly, holy lives, right? And we ought not to provoke Jesus to jealousy. That's right. And we ought not to be sleeping on the job. We ought to be watching, right? We ought to be watching, because Jesus will come as a thief in the night. And as in the wedding, the Jewish wedding, the bridegroom has already established the fact with the bride, the betrothed bride. And I'm just going to paraphrase it just so that we can kind of relate to it now, in the sense that he tells her, and she already knows this by watching others going through the same process. And he says in so many words, I'll bring it up today to as if I was to do this with my wife 42 years ago. Sweetie, honey, I'm sorry, but I must go. Oh, please don't go. Yes, I must go because I must prepare the bridal chamber, right? Now, she already knows that it has to be done. And I tell her, I said, now, sweetheart, I must go. You must wait. But while I'm over there preparing this bridal chamber for you, I want you to be ready when I come to get you. And she says, well, honey, how will I know when you're coming to get me? I said, you'll know it all right, because I'm going to blow a great trumpet. Amen. And when you hear that trump, you'll know that it's me. It'll be like no other trumpet sound that you've ever heard. And I'm going to come, and I'm going to kidnap you. Kidnap you? Yes, I'm going to kidnap you. Because when your mom and dad checks your room, you'll be gone. Woo! You'll be gone. But they'll know that it wasn't an illegal kidnapping, that it was a legal kidnapping. Amen. Because they heard the sound of the trumpet. Amen. Hallelujah. And so, you understand now. So, the Feast of Trumpets, you know, all through the year, they blow the trumpets. They have silver trumpets, two of them. There's also the holy times, like during Yom Kippur, that will actually use ram's horns. But the trumpets are to be blown throughout the year. They are to be blown to assemble the people. They are to be blown at the new moon. They are to be blown when in preparation for a battle. About every important thing that goes on in Israel, they would blow the trumpets. And people knew the sound of the trumpet sound. They knew if it was for war. They knew if it was for a wedding. They knew if it was for a new moon. They knew if it was a special offering that was going to be done, because they could tell that when they heard that certain sound, that's what it indicated, right? Now, ladies and gentlemen, when we hear the last trump, we're going to know the sound. We're going to know it. And nobody else is going to know it, but we're going to know it. So, the Feast of Trumpets is very, very interesting in that, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we have the understanding of what I'm talking about here. In verse 50, we'll read verse 50. Now, he says, now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. That's pretty fast, isn't it? So right there, let's just kind of park it right there for a moment. Let's assume that it's going to happen tonight. You cannot prove to me that it's not going to happen tonight. And you cannot prove to me it won't happen in the next hour. So the question is, if it's going to happen that fast, that quickly, right? My question to you and I, if you're saved, are you ready to go? I mean, are you ready to go? Well, in the spiritual condition of most believers today, I don't think most of us are ready to go. We may be ready to go because we want to get out of this mess, right? But I don't know if we're ready to face the judgment seat of Christ. It's not the rapture that's the big event. we're looking for. We're not looking for that. That's really technically not an event. That is how we get to the event. Amen. That's the mode of transportation. In the moment, in a twinkling of an eye, boom, we're going to be absent in the body and present with the Lord. And so we'll ever be with the Lord. But the question is, not that I want to get out of this mess, and I do want to get out of this mess. The question is, am I going to be ashamed when I see Jesus face to face? Is there anything whatsoever in your heart and mind that you'll be ashamed when you see him face to face? Because there is no purgatory, I'm sorry to say. You ain't going to have a whole year to get it right. Come on now. It's going to be instantaneous. You're not going to be able to, you'll be singing that song, I wish what's that song? I given him more. It'll be too late. Huh? Now you have the opportunity right now while I'm preaching. You see, you may not realize this, but what happened earlier this morning is not unusual. In the last days, we're going to see more and more of that. We need to pray for these dear ones. We need to love these dear ones. And we ought not to be bitter against these dear ones. But I want to let you know one thing. God allowed that to happen. And because he allowed that to happen, that does several things for us. That ought to unite us even stronger. Amen. In a battle, when someone falls out of rank, we don't stop everything. No, we just pick up and we go. We don't look back, we go forward. We don't stop, we go forward. And we endeavor to restore such a one in meekness. The other thing is, I believe God is giving us a wake-up call. The tent ministry, things that occur, the devil's on a warpath. He hates it. He hates what has happened. He hates it when any soul gets saved. He hates it. He hates that this church loves Jesus like you do. He hates these wonderful songs. He hates the good spirit in this church. He hates. Amen. But guess what we're going to do? We ain't going to hate. We're going to love. And charity covers a multitude of sins. That's our attitude. We're not going to give the devil not even one inch. No. Because he is the accuser of the brethren. And we're not going to give him any ammunition that he already has. We're going to give him any more ammunition that he already has to accuse the brethren before the Lord. We're going to love more. We're going to confess more. We're going to live holy more. We're going to be united more. We're going to be more soul winners more. We're going to weep for souls more. We're going to leave here with a pack of tracts. Amen. Whatever we've been doing, we're going to do it more. We're not going to let anything stop us. That's right. Because of the fact, we talk about to sinners about the pending judgment. But we fail to remember that it's not just the pending judgment of the wicked, but there is a judgment seat that you and I have to deal with. Amen? Now, aren't you glad it's not going to be judging the penalty of our sins? That was done at Calvary. But it will be judging our stewardship. What did we do for Jesus? How did we live for Jesus while we were here? What has been accomplished in the name of Christ? How much glory did we give him? How much Bible did we memorize? How often did we pray? How often did we soul win? How many tracts have you given out? Amen. How often have you been in the house of God when you should have been here, but you were busy doing something else? Come on now. What I'm trying to tell you is, We can focus so much on the judgment pending for the ungodly and forget to remember that just in a moment, just in a twinkling of an eye, we're going to see Jesus face to face. And we'll have to give account for everything we've done, whether good or bad, in our bodies. So I'm not your priest. Preacher's not your priest. But you need to examine yourself. Now, these altars are open, and we do got tissue boxes here. And these tissue boxes aren't for just blowing your nose. Give me an amen. But I will tell you that before the night's over, if we even make it, I pray that there's not any unconfessed sin that's present in your life as a believer. And if there is, you got plenty of time, a moment and a twinkling of eyes already passed. And you have plenty of opportunity to get right with the Lord. It don't matter what it is. And you have to tell me it's none of my business. And guess what? I'm not going to tell you anything because it's none of your business. Now, when you sin publicly, it's everybody's business. But thank God he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Praise God for that. I don't know if I've ever said this, but I was in a preacher's meeting one time, and preacher kind of got kind of excited. You know, we preachers, we have to be careful. Sometimes we get really excited, and sometimes we say things so fast we don't think about what we're saying. And he said something like this. He says, coming to the throne of God, when it says that we can come boldly to the throne of grace, he said that word. That's why you got to be careful about the Greek and Hebrew sometimes, because the Greek and Hebrew should never contradict the teachings of the Bible. I don't care what the Greek and Hebrew says. If the Greek and Hebrew undermines a doctrine, then I will go by the interpretation of Scripture. Amen? And I want you to just understand something, that if you study Greek and Hebrew properly, I've never found it to be contradictory to the King James Bible. I've never found one thing, not one thing. And if anything, it's always a big hearty amen. But he got going and he talked about how we're supposed to come boldly to the throne of grace, boldly. And he said that means as if to kick a door down. And at first I thought, wow, that's amazing. I never knew I had to kick a door down. Jesus already kicked the door down at Calvary. Come on now. And when he gave up the ghost, the Bible says that the veil in the temple ran from top to bottom. He kicked the door down. And I can go into the throne of grace 24/7. Amen. I don't have to kick no door down. Woo! So during the Feast of Trumpets, no, notice now I kind of parked it there for a moment so that you can take seriously what that means when he says, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Now, ladies and gentlemen, that's where we get the doctrine of the imminent return of Christ. Because Paul believed in the imminent return of Christ because he's telling them in a moment, in a twinkling. Well, ladies and gentlemen, it's been 2,000 years almost already. He has not come yet. He's not appeared to the church yet. But we're to live our life as if he would come at any moment. Right? We don't have another day to waste. We don't have another day to drag on. This is no time to be filled with apathy and get lazy on God. No, this is a time we ought to be on fire for God like we never have before. We are on the end. We are at the end. We're at the beginning of this seventh month. We're about ready to enter into another dispensation of the Bible. Now, the tribulation is not considered a dispensation. It's considered a transition period, like the book of Acts was. From one dispensation to another. There's always been transition periods. But we're right there. You know we're right there. So we're right there. And we are all 2,000 years closer than when it was inspired. If we're 2,000 years closer, then how close are we? Amen. Are you really ready? Are you really ready? Are you really ready to meet the Lord face to face? Are you? Only you know that. You know what you've been looking at. You know what you've been listening to. You know where you went the other day. You know who you hang around with. Y'all look like you're going to have a cardiac arrest. So, preacher, how do you know I did that? I don't know anything. I'm just trying to tell you. You know it. I don't need to know it. You know it. I could preach on things. I'm a things preacher. So is your pastor. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Love of the flesh, right? Lust of the eyes. Pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world, right? Love not the things. I'm a things preacher. Amen. Why, most churches today can't handle anybody preaching on things. Most churches, when I preach on things, you talk about Donnie Harvey, brother. Woo. Oh, man, when Donnie Harvey started out, I was with him in many of the beginning years. I'll tell you what, we preach on things, it'll blow your mind. Your hair would stand up. But that was a day when they didn't kick you out of the church. I mean, I've had meetings where they stopped the church. I have meetings that never have me come back. They never have Donnie Harvey come back. Are you kidding me? Today, most of us preachers that preach like we did back then, it's like walking on eggshells. And the reason why the churches are so backslidden on God, because they won't let the evangelists do the plowing anymore. And I thank God for your pastor. He allows us to do the plowing. Amen. Well, anyway, I'm not really plowing. But I'm giving you a taste of the imminency, how quickly it could happen just like that. While I'm preaching. Wouldn't that be great? While I'm preaching, I love to just boo out of here. You say, I'd love to go right now. You better wait a minute now. You better make sure you're ready. Now let me say this. That it was such a blessing to hear the testimonies. Wonderful blessing. There could be somebody here that's not ready to meet their maker. They're not saved. They're not ready. They're not saved. They're lost. They've been playing the church game. I was just in a church where the maintenance guy's been there for years and everything. Everybody thought he was saved. But he played the church game. He lived a lie. And thank God, he said, I can't live like this any longer. It's the most miserable thing to be lost, a lost sinner, and know you're a lost sinner, and making everybody believe that I'm saved. He says, I'm tired of living a lie. Amen? Maybe you're like that. I don't know. We had some testify about their assurance problem. A lot of believers are going through assurance problems in these last days. But if you're not saved and you're lost, you don't have a lot of time left. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. I got to get going here. I got to get going. God help us now. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. At the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Woo, glory! Now, this last trump has to be understood in the context of the Day of Atonement, okay? Because the Feast of Trumpets is preparing the Israelites for the Day of Atonement. The Day of Atonement, before you get to the Day of Atonement, there will be 10 days of repentance. Man alive, I don't know why there's such a controversy about what repentance is. All you have to do is go to the Jews. All you have to do is go to the Day of Atonement. They spent 10 days repenting. And they repented in sackcloth and ashes. I mean, man alive, they really afflict themselves. And this easy believism crowd, they want you to believe that it's just a 1, 2, 3, repeat after me. They don't know nothing about repentance. And I will just tell you this, one of the biggest problems we're facing in the last days is the lack of repentance. The lack of repentance. What is repentance? Repentance means to turn. It means to turn. Now, what does God do when he repents? Well, he turns from judging, from judgment. I'm glad that he turned, he repented of destroying this planet in the days of Noah, aren't you? And Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. I like that song. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Amen. Amen. And the Lord repented of destroying the Israelites completely and start all over again with Moses. Amen. I'm glad that the Lord repented, because if he didn't, most likely I wouldn't be here today. So, during the Feast of Trumpets, there are four major trump sounds. This is one trump that has four sounds. And the first sound is called tekeia. And tekeia essentially has one short burst. And this first sound of the last trump, because it's the last trump of the year, it's called the trump of God. Give me an amen. And therefore, this last trump has four sounds to it. And the first sound is tekeia. It's one short blast. And that is to assemble the saints of God. Now, that's the one we're going to hear. We're going to hear that one. Now, I have here a trumpet. This is a small trumpet. And it's very difficult to blow. And I didn't bring my big one. I wish I did, because I could do that a lot better. But how many going to pray for me right now? I asked if there was anybody who knew how to blow a trumpet. Does anybody know how to blow a trumpet around here? All right. Nobody knows how to blow a trumpet. All right. I wish I had my son here. He knows how to blow trumpets. So let's give it a try here, all right? Here we go now. You pray for me. If you laugh, you'll be, well, I won't say that. I know, is that good or bad? I couldn't hear anything. It's better than you can do. That's right. All right, so, but it's going to be a lot louder than that, I can assure you that. And so that's the first trump sound of the last trump. And that's when the Lord assembles us. And, you know, after all, we are called the church, amen? And the word church is a called out assembly. And we will finally actually fulfill what that word really means in totality. We'll be called out of this world. I can't wait for that. Woo, that'll be glorious. Amen. And then the second sound of the last trump is shivarim. And that's three blasts. Woo, 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 because I can't do it. I can try to do it. Let's pray for the preacher now. Like I told you, this is not the best. But at any rate, we'll go with that. Because like the preacher said, you can't do any better. Woo! And that is, shivarim is a call to repentance. Now, when the church is taken out of here, the Lord is going to bring the nation of Israel to their knees. They're going to go through the worst tribulation that the world has ever experienced. And the Bible says, in their affliction, they will seek God early. And I'm going to tell you right now, the Holocaust was a horrible thing. I would never diminish the terrible horror and all of that about the Holocaust. But I am here to tell you that the Jewish people are going to experience Jacob's trouble, the worst tribulation, and it will be horrible. And it will kill 2/3 of my people, and they will die. But it will take that tribulation to humble them, to cause them to be able to get to a position to repent. Why do we go through affliction? Why did God allow 9/11? Why did God allow Katrina? Why does God allow COVID? Do you really think that the God of heaven could not prevent COVID from occurring? It doesn't matter who started COVID. We blame the Chinese, yeah. Well, they're to be blamed for their contribution to the cause. Give me an amen. But I blame that stinking bat is what I blame. Amen. All I'm trying to tell you is we ought to just blame our government for the whole deal. Woo, I love that. Didn't get much amen out of that. After all, we're the ones that contracted the lab that they were using to experiment on the stinking bats. Come on now. And we're the ones that were trying to get a biological weapon out of that. Come on. And we let the cat out of the hat, or the virus out of the bat. Hey, man, that rhymes. I'm going to copyright that. God help us. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, let's stop blaming everything on the devil. Let's just recognize one thing. God has blessed America. While other countries are going through starvation, and on you could go. While the Egyptians were going through the 10 plagues, those Israelites weren't going through any plagues. Come on now. When they were in Goshen, they were in paradise on this planet. While the rest of the world's going through all this tribulation, God preserved his people. Amen. And the only reason why we have COVID, and the only reason we have all this stuff going on, is because God is allowing it. Do you not believe that God wants America to get on its knees and humble herself and be able to repent? We didn't repent before. The probability at the rate we're going, this nation ain't going to repent. It's going to turn into full apostasy. But I know one group of people that can still repent. That's the church. We can repent. We can do that which is pleasing in the sight of God. All right, and then the third part, there's four trump sounds, and that is Teruah. In fact, the Feast of Trumpets is called Yom Teruah. It's the day of the trumpet sound, and that is four quick blasts, just one after another. Boom, 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 boom. Number 9. I ain't going to try it. The last one of the four is Tekeah, like the first one, Tekeah, a short. But it's not just Tekeah, it's Tekeah Gedola. That means that one short blast is going to be a very long short blast, and it's going to be very, very big until the ones that actually blow this thing. I've seen Brother Salerni blow it, and he's about ready to pass out. And it is the big trumpet sound. So the first one is the assembly, call to assembly. That's the rapture. Next one is to bring Israel to repentance. And the one with the 9, Teruah, that's a call to war. And this earth is going to have a reckoning day. It's called Armageddon. Huh? And there's going to be war. The greatest battle that has ever been fought. All the armies of the world will amass over there. in the valley of Megiddo, thinking that they can defeat the Lamb of God? Come on, that's a laughable thing I've ever heard. If you want to laugh, laugh on that. The devil, evidently, the devil knows this Bible, but he don't believe it. Because if he believed it, he wouldn't waste the time. He thinks he's going to defeat the Lamb of God. He don't believe this Bible. He's not going to defeat the Lamb of God. The armies of the world, we estimate, we don't know for sure, but we estimate 25 million plus, maybe up to 50, maybe 100 million soldiers will be seeking to destroy the Lamb of God. You think that's going to be a hard thing for the Lord Jesus? The Lord Jesus is going to stomp them on his feet. There'll be so much blood. Can you imagine the kind of blood that's going to come out of all that? We estimate 200 square mile of blood to the horse's bridle. You have to take a boat to go everywhere. So that's the teruah, the call to war. The last one is Tekeah Gadolah. I told you that's the big one. The long, mighty blast, and that is the call to usher the king to his kingdom. I like that, don't you? After Armageddon, I don't have time to get into all this. I may have in the past, but the Lord is going to, I believe the way the chronology is going to be, the Lord's going to show up there in Petra, in the Red Rock City, where the Jews have been hiding out for 3.5 years, the 7-year tribulation, and the Lord's going to show the wounds in his hands and feet, and the Bible says all Israel shall be saved. Can I get a big amen on that? Amen! And then the Lord's going to come and land his feet. Now we're the church, the bride's going to be with him all this time. Man, I'll tell you what, that's going to be great to see the Lord casting down his enemies under his feet. Amen! And we'll witness all of that. Somebody's asked me, well, will we have any part in the battle? I don't believe we will, but it won't be a problem if we did. Amen? We'll have supernatural bodies. We'll have a glorified bodies. We'll be able to walk through the wall. And we'll have a glorified supersonic horse. Glory to God. Amen. Maybe the Lord let us do some of that. I don't know. But most likely we won't be part of that. We might. But anyway. But I'm just thinking what a glorious time that's going to be. And then he's going to land his feet on the Mount of Olives. There'll be a big earthquake. The Eastern Gate will crack open. Amen. And the Lord Jesus will go through that gate, the ushering in of the king. Once he gets into that gate, will be the first day, the beginning of the 1,000-year millennial kingdom. Then the bride comes after him. Then the nation of Israel is saved, comes after the bride. Then the saved of the nations will come after that. And we'll be in a millennial kingdom. And that will be number 7, the 7,000 years of this planet, this current planet that we live right now. The 7,000th year. Right there, number 7. And of course, after the Feast of Trumpets, I mentioned to you about the Day of Atonement, and they are going to repent. That's going to be the Day of Atonement. They're going to recognize that Jesus died for them, that Jesus was the atonement for the Jews also, amen? They'll confess that they are guilty of the great transgression, that they too were part of all of that, the crucifixion, everything, just like you and I was, right? And then the Feast of Tabernacles. The Feast of Tabernacles actually begins the minute the king enters the Eastern Gate. And typically what the Jews do, as according to the book of Leviticus, they're supposed to set up these booths outside their house. They're supposed to be there for 7 days, living in these made-up booths, not in their homes. They're supposed to be there for 7 days. Amen? And that, again, is the type of the millennial kingdom where there'll be peace like a river glorious. I don't know if any of you wanted to ever play with a snake, but I like to choke a snake with my hands, amen, But I won't have to do that because the snakes will be they'll be our pets. So the snakes won't bite you. Amen. I know the kids will like putting their hands in there. And they'll be able to play with snakes or whatever you want. And the lion will lay down with a wolf. That's always been missed. They always say lion lay down with a lamb. Well, that'll happen too. But the Bible says wolf. Amen. You didn't know that, did you? Well, the Bible says so. It's gonna be great, man. I'm telling you. There's not gonna be any division on this planet. The blacks and the whites are gonna get along. The Jews and the Arabs are gonna love each other. Amen. The northerners and the southerners will all be one. Amen. Man, that is a miracle. We'll all be able to carry, I don't know what kind of ammunition we're going to have in guns, but it's going to be something else, wouldn't it? Woo! But we're not going to have to use them because all the weapons are going to be destroyed. There'll be peace. When there's peace, there's no need for weapons. And if you, not us, because we'll have glorified bodies, we won't get mad at anybody. We'll be perfect. But those earthlings that enter in, they'll still have sinful bodies. They may get upset at their neighbor once in a while. But the Lord Jesus won't let them show any outward rebellion. There'll be no outward rebellion. Now, Pastor, I won't say this for your sake. Being a pastor, I never really believed it. I never believed it. I thought the pastors were just saying it because to have a pity party. I really did. There was a time I thought they'd have a pity party. But then I realized something. The hardest job on this planet right now, you may disagree with me on this. See, I come and go. The pastor, he has to pick up the pieces. And sometimes he has to put the pieces back together. Come on now. I don't know much about farming, but I do know one thing. After you plow, there's other things that got to be done. Amen? And that's the pastor's job. But the evangelist comes and he plows. And sometimes he has to plow real deep. And sometimes he gets those rocks. Who's going to pick up those rocks afterwards? Going to be your pastor. And I'm here to tell you that I believe with all my heart, a pastor's job, no doubt about it, I'm convinced after 45 years, is the most difficult job on this planet. You know why? Because the gates of hell are trying to prevail against this church and other churches, but the church. Let's get back to the church. The gates of hell is trying to prevail against the church. But through the local assembly, right? Who do you think he's going to pick on the most? Who do you think he's going to try to cast a stumbling block the most? Who do you think he's going to discourage the most? It's going to be the pastor. But I've learned another thing over these years. He usually doesn't hit on the pastor first because the devil's a coward. He's a coward. And he will try to get to the pastor, to get to the church through the weaker vessel, his darling wife. I know pastors' wives have nervous breakdowns. Well, if she has a nervous breakdown, he's out of the ministry. He ain't going to be able to survive. I know pastors' wives that have told their husbands, I can't handle it anymore. I've been in churches where there were a bunch of rebels that would torment the pastor's wife, and the pastor didn't even know about it because the wife didn't want to make a scene about it and kept it within herself. But you're not going to let that happen, are you? You're not going to allow a bunch of rebels, a bunch of disobedient members. You're not going to allow anybody. You're not going to allow a backslider. You're not going to allow an outsider to hurt that woman right there. And you ladies especially need to put a hedge around that woman. And you need to do something special at least once a year. Honor the pastor, but don't forget that woman right there. And you love on her. You pray for her. Amen. And you give her gifts during the year. And if there's anything you don't like about her, you get right with God and you just say, I love you. Just get over it. Amen. Just drop it. Amen. Because I wouldn't be what I am today if my sweetheart wasn't what she is. And this man of God would not be what he is today without his sweetheart. And by the way, what I've just told you, it's the same thing in your home. You know our wives, they're like china dishes. I'm talking about that. You throw a china dish, it's going to break. And we husbands, sometimes we forget that. We do. We forget. You just got married. That woman right there, she's your china dish. Always remember that. You like that, don't you? Oh, mercy. God have mercy. So, the Feast of Trumpets. Speaks of the rapture, preparing Israel to repent, preparing the world for the greatest war that ever was or ever will be at that point in time, Armageddon. And then also that the kingdom is going to start with the ushering in of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. It's all good, ladies and gentlemen. It's all good. So anyway, brother, I wish I could blow this real good. I didn't have time to practice. This thing's been blown by at least 1,000 kids with all their germs. And I told my wife to try to clean it best she could. So I don't know what's in here. I will give it one more try, okay? How many want to go pray for me? I'm going to give it one more try. All right, Lord, help me now. And I know it's a little warm in here, but I'm doing all the sweating. It's going to be a lot hotter than hell anyhow. We don't have to worry about that. Amen? You're all smiling, aren't you? Blame it on this. Amen. Can I tell just a little bit about this?
Go ahead, bro.
All right. Let me tell you a little bit about this. When they take this off the head of a ram, this is, I think it's from the kudo. It's a certain kind of animal like a ram, but it's a small, as you see, it's, when they take it off the animal's head, it's very, very rough. You see how rough that is? Just put your hand on it. Isn't that kind of rough? That's the way we are when we get saved. We are rough. But when we grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord and we desire the sincere milk of the word to grow thereby, the Lord starts smoothing us out. Isn't that nice and smooth?
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Amen. So that's why young Christians, we need to be extra, you know, patient with them.
Yes, sir.
Right? Because they're pretty rough when they get saved. I mean, pretty rough. And it's going to take some time for the Lord to smooth them out. Amen? So don't be so hard on the young believers. Come on now. Now, if you've been saved for any amount of years, 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, and you're still in your stinking diapers, that's not good. Because I don't like changing diapers. I know he don't. Oh, by the way, I totally missed why I even pointed you out. I got to stop for a moment. Okay? I got ahead of myself. A preacher, I'm telling this for encouragement to you. One day we're gonna be in the millennial kingdom. I can't wait. Amen.
Amen.
We're gonna be on a perfect earth, as perfect as it can be. There'll be no thorns on the roses. You'll be able to pick flowers without, you know, right? It'll be great. I mean, just think about it. But there's still, we got the perfect planet at that time. Going to be like the Garden of Eden. We have about the most perfect congregation you could ever have. And we have a perfect Savior, absolutely. And yet, He being the perfect Savior and the perfect shepherd of all shepherds, the perfect pastor of all pastors, brother, He's still going to have to rule with a rod of iron. And that's my encouragement to the man of God. Because no matter how hard he tries, the Lord Jesus himself is going to have to rule for 1,000 years, and he's still going to have to deal with a bunch of rebels. Come on now. Right? Am I not telling it right? Now, the church won't misbehave. We're going to be perfect. We're going to be sinless. We're the bride of Christ. Amen. We've already gone to the judgment seat of Christ. Amen. All that wood, hay, and stubble, it's been burnt up. Amen. That'll be great, won't it? Wouldn't it be great? You'll never have to think about sin again.
That's right.
Man, alive. Never be tempted again. Never be tempted to sin. Do you know what that means? Be able to go, be able to fly anywhere you want. You know? Visit any planet you want. Be great, won't it? If we would just get our minds off of what's going on in this wicked world, right? We would be a whole lot better off. All right, well, preacher, listen, I'm done. I'm done. There's a lot more I can say about all this, but I'll stop there. All right, preacher. It's all yours.